Proverbs chapter 30, beginning at verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The conies are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, in bands. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands and is in kings' palaces. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Ants and locusts and spiders, oh my. And apologies to the conies. You think about these creatures, and if you're like me, the first thought that comes to mind is call the exterminator. You see one of them in the house, and somebody says, call the bug man. But there's a message from each one of these. The writer of Proverbs said they're exceedingly wise. I've often said when I get to heaven, one of the first questions I'm going to ask God is, why did you make spiders? I hate spiders. I'm afraid of spiders. If you want to terrify me and hear me say bad words, just chase me with a spider. And if you had to make spiders, God, why do they have to be so ugly? I mean, couldn't they do whatever it is you wanted them to do without being so ugly? But the ants and the locusts and the conies and the spiders have a message for us. Listen to them. First of all, the ants. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The message of the ant is prepare yourself. Somehow, this creature that God created understands there's coming a season when he'll not be able to gather food. And so he gathers. Because first of all, his eyes are on the future. We cannot undo the past. But if we let it, it can undo us. Have you ever thought, man, I wish I had that day to live over again? But you can't. And so the summer of our opportunities are what we have now, and they're passing, and the winter is coming quickly, and if we're not ready, it'll be on us before we know. Secondly, the ant is able to delay gratification. If we don't have the patience to wait, we'll miss or mess up the blessing that God has for us. How many times do we say, I want what I want when I want it? And God the Father whispers to us and says, wait for it. The ant takes his resources in the summer and moves towards the winter. Is anybody going to show up and do it for him? No. Are there predators that will attack him and take away what he's trying to do? Yes. But he's so focused on where he's going and what he's doing that he doesn't have time to worry about where he is. And so he gathers food. And thirdly, he has a bigger cause than himself. If you've ever watched an ant work and see him pick up a twig or a piece of food, it's so much bigger than the ant is. But yet he'll pick it up and carry it with seeming ease and drags it off to where he's going to go. And how many times do we look around us and say, that's too big for me? The job, Lord, you've asked, the burden you've asked is too big for me. I can't carry it by myself. Well, my brothers, my sisters, you don't have to carry it by yourself. Paul told the Ephesians, glory be to God who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever even dare to ask or dream of. And second, the conies. Now, in your modern translation, it'll say badgers or rock badgers or marmots. These creatures that the King James Version from which I read calls conies look like a rabbit, but they can't run like a rabbit. They resemble a mole, but they can't dig deep like moles can. And so they move to the rocky places, higher places, solid places, the place of strength. What's the message of the conies? Reposition yourself. Reposition yourself, first of all, by realizing who you are in Jesus Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your status in God's eyes changed completely. You became part of His family, adopted into the family of God, fully accepted as redeemed, with your sins forgiven and washed away. And now you have direct access to your Heavenly Father and all the rights and privileges that go with that. And knowing that allows you to work from a position of strength and not weakness, a position of faith and not fear. And when the danger comes, pray a little more. Believe God a little more. Enjoy more of His blessings. How do you reposition yourself? Secondly, by realizing your limitations don't limit God. The coney can't run like a rabbit, can't dig like a mole. We have limitations. Don't let those limitations limit God. Who does the writer of Proverbs say God uses? Feeble folk. The conies are a feeble folk. And He puts them in positions of strength. Sometimes that means putting extra strength around them. Feeble folk praise God differently. Others praise because they have a feeling of entitlement. But the conies, they remember where they were when God found them and what He brought them through. And like the psalmist said, and he doesn't amplify beyond this little statement in 124 verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I remember our grandma Laudermilk saying over and over again, I don't know what people do without the Lord. If we had a dollar for every time we heard Grandma say that, we'd have a big stack of dollars. I think she was zeroing in on the conies, who are a feeble folk, but who put themselves in a position of strength and make their houses in the rocks. Then the locust. The locusts have no king, but they go forth, all of them, by bands. Now, the days of the Bible, there was little that the people feared more than locusts. They would fear the locust even above invading armies, because if a horde of locusts came in, they'd blacken the sky, they'd eat up all the green, and when they were gone, there was nothing. You remember it was one of the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. They black out the sun, devour everything in sight. They were unstoppable. What's the message of the locust? Don't quit. Your victory is assured. The locust is not big, but he's bold. If he can't get through the door, he'll come in through the window. If the window's closed, he'll go up on the porch. If he can't get through that way, he'll find another way. He never gives up. So keep praying, keep believing, keep fighting. Understand what Paul told the Romans in chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? What's the message of the locust? Alone you can't do it, but together we can. The locust, the writer of Proverbs says, goes forth in bands. And to do what God has laid in your heart to do, to live the life that God has put before you to live, surround yourself with the right people. You can't run with weak, self-willed, selfish, mediocre people. You need people with an appetite for life, for an appetite and a hunger for God. I like this from Deuteronomy chapter 32. It talks about mathematics in God's kingdom. And the mathematics in God's kingdom are different. One can face 1,000, the writer of Deuteronomy said, but two can chase 10,000. Surround yourself with people to help and strengthen you. And as far as the locust is concerned, number three, when God moves, be sure you move. When the wind comes up and the locusts are on the way, they go where the wind blows. They can't change directions. They don't change directions. They don't chart their own course. They're totally dependent on the wind. And there comes a moment when we have to trust God. When we recognize His timing and take a leap of faith and let the wind of the Spirit take you where it will. You remember the scene in the garden when Joseph came and said, "How can a man be born again?" And Jesus said, "Listen to the wind, Nicodemus. You hear the sound, you feel it, but you don't know where it comes from, where it's going. Let it carry you. Let the wind of the Spirit carry you. All the flapping around and wearing yourself out won't get the job done. Let the Holy Spirit lead." And the fourth little creature, the spiders. They move skillfully with their hands, and they are in kings' palaces. Everything a spider needs to survive and succeed in life, God has put within it. If you take a broom and sweep at a spider web, before the spider hits the ground, from inside of it, it reaches and shoots out another stream of the web and makes a catch and lowers itself on down. I remember one day going out to get the morning newspaper, when we got a morning newspaper. And I walked down the walk and walked up the driveway and walked smack into this huge spider web. As I told you, I hate spiders. And I'm just swatting the web and just finally got the paper, got back in the house. I think I ran upstairs, jumped in the shower. The next morning when I went out, I paid attention. And from the upper corner of the house, well, not clear up to the corner, but way up above me, stretching across, we used to have two cedar trees, one on either side of the driveway. There is this long spider strand, and a web started back over the walk. I went back up on the porch, grabbed a broom, removed the removed the obstruction, went and got the paper. The next morning, he's back out there again. From there to there, about 30 feet, he's got this thing strung up. The next morning I went out, he'd given up. I guess I chased him off. But they have inside of them all that they need to reach a safe place, to come back stronger, to build a new web. What's the message of the spider? Everything you need, God has placed within you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Peter said, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. What's God given us? Everything we need. The warfare over your life and the struggle you're in is about what God gifted you when you were born and born again. And Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is within you. In other words, start producing. Life may have knocked you down, but it hasn't knocked you out. What's at work within you will triumph over what's at work against you. Stand on God's Word. Draw on your faith. Hold on. And when smoke clears, rise up and announce by the grace of God, I'm back. You may say, but I've lost so much. As long as you have what God put within you, you can make it. What's the message of the spider? Secondly, use your God-given sense of discernment. The spider has 8 eyes. I've never looked close enough to see, but I've read it and believe it. The spider has 8 eyes but can't see very well. How does he compensate? He has little hairs on his legs, little hair follicles that are full of sensitivity and can discern what's going on around. And you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, can discern more in the Holy Spirit than you can with your eyes. John told the early church, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. God will let you know things that you can neither prove nor explain. Jesus said He would show us things to come. Maybe you remember an old-time camp meeting or an old-time revival meeting when they sang, The Holy Ghost Done Told Me Everything's Going to Be All Right. It's not good grammar, but it's sound biblical truth. Can't you remember a time when your eyes told you you're not going to make it, but the Holy Spirit kept telling you everything's going to be all right? What's the message of the spider? Thirdly, you need to be continually anointed with the oil of God's Spirit. Now that spider web that tangles us up in, that catches the little creatures that the spider eats, how does a spider keep from getting caught in his own web? Well, his little feet secrete an oil that keeps him from getting tangled in his web as he walks across it and around it. There's a little thing within his body that secretes that oil. And looking back, what keeps you from getting tangled in the web of the world? The oil of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil every day. It's why you need to stay full of God's Spirit. What's the message of the spider? Fourthly, as long as you live, keep producing. We learn from the spider that your size doesn't determine your potential. The Holy Spirit does. No matter where you start, you can end up in king's palaces. You might not produce as much as someone else, but you've got to produce, keep producing. You might not be able to produce what you're used to, but keep producing. You remember the story where Jesus said the seed was scattered and some brought 100-fold, some 60, some 30? And you look around and you say, well, so-and-so is producing 100-fold. And I'm barely doing the 30-fold. Don't get intimidated by that. You're accountable only for what God has given to you. The Bible says they shall bring forth fruit in old age. Psalm 92, verse 14. And to those of us who've reached it, look out, retirement can be dangerous. Keep your mind alert. Keep your dreams alive. Keep your body moving. You might be older and physically weaker, but you have to have a reason to get out of bed every morning, because if you don't, after a while you won't be able to get out of bed. If you can't fly, get in a car. If you can't get in the car, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, stand up. If you can't stand up and you're lying down, sit up. If you can't sit up, wiggle your toes. And let the devil know you're still in the game. By the grace of God, keep producing. The answer of people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Prepare yourself. Eyes on the future. Delay gratification. Because God's bigger than your problems. The conies are a feeble folk, but they make their houses in the rock. Reposition yourself. Realize who you are in Christ. And that your limits don't limit God. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. Your victory is assured. Alone you can't, together we can. And move when God moves. The spider skillfully grabs with its hands and is in king's palaces. Everything you need, God has placed within you. Use your God-given sense of discernment. Be continually anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. As long as you live, keep producing.